be a loving pastor and a faithful man of God. And I pray now that you would move in his mind and his heart and his mouth, that you would anoint him to speak your heart to us. The Holy Spirit, that you would teach us what you would have us to learn from the Gospel of Matthew, Lord, and that you would use Byron as a wonderful and faithful mouthpiece for this morning. Let us be receptive to what you are doing this morning. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Y'all doing good? Y'all doing good? You'll do better when you even leave today. So it's always good. So, I love it. In the twilight hours this morning, I was waking, the Holy Spirit kind of visited me and said, yeah, here's some stuff I want to put into this message. I said, thank you, Lord, because you didn't tell me to scrap the message and start all over again. Because I really like to just dive into it. I like to redo it before I go to bed and listen to God. What he was telling me this morning was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you read those, right? Then we have the epistles, right? Written by John, Peter, others, James, and others, and mostly Paul. But if you look at the Gospels, if you read the Gospels, allow the Holy Spirit to show you that living with Jesus, walking with Jesus for 3 years is reflected in those who wrote the epistles. You'll see what I mean as we get into this, all right? So one was really revealed to me this morning, and while I speak, maybe others will come. So I'm glad the Lord only gave me one this morning. So Matthew chapter 16. Be careful, Jesus said to them, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Stop right there. We're going to look at, be careful, be on your guard. That found its way in the first Peter. Peter. You know, Peter lived with Jesus for 3 years. Spent time. Peter was very outspoken. Not me, Lord. I'll do this. I'll do that. And you know, and very outspoken. I'll die with you. And yet, Peter. Give him credit. He was the only one to kind of follow Jesus into his trial. But you know the story, as he went outside there. And what's amazing, there's a little verse in the Bible that's kind of cool. And Peter was just in the process of what he was doing. What did he do? Denied him 3 times. Be careful. Be on your guard. That must have rang through Peter's heart. And then as he caved in to protect his own life, he denied Jesus. Yet, in that very process, it says Jesus gazed at him and looked at him. And he went out and wept bitterly. Where does that, we find that in the writings of the epistles? Be careful, be on your guard. Just being with Jesus, hearing what Jesus said, just and denying him for 3 times. Yet Peter met him after the resurrection, and then he said to him 3 times, do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? Be careful, be on your guard. Well, what came out of that is found in 1 Peter, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. You see, when there was an anxious moment and he failed. He failed when he was out there following Jesus right through his trial. All of a sudden, his flesh caved in. He feared for his own life. His focus got off of Jesus onto himself. And he forgot. But he remembered in the epistle, cast all your anxiety on him. And then he went on further to say, be alert and be sober. Be careful. Be on your guard. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in your faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the whole world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. Peter, this came out of experience of walking with Jesus. This came out of experience of caving in when he should have been casting all his anxiety on him. Instead, he took his focus off Jesus. He focused on himself, feared for his own life, denied Jesus. And at that very moment of denying him, their eyes met. His focus changed. He went outside the wall and wept bitterly. And then Jesus fortified him and said, Peter, do you love me? In fact, at the resurrection, one of the ladies was there and it was revealed Jesus is alive. He said an interesting thing in one of the Gospels. He said, go, tell the disciples and Peter. That's the kind of commitment that Jesus has to you and I. Though we could have failed miserably, we need to then refocus our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. There'll be more of this as I go through this. That's what he gave me this morning. Be on your guard. Be careful. They discussed it among themselves. Is it because we didn't bring the bread? And aware of their discussions, Jesus asked, you of little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? And this goes into my message from last week. Do you still not understand? Do you remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000? And how many baskets you gathered? And the 7 loaves and the 4 baskets? And how many baskets you gathered? How do you don't understand that I was not talking about bread? Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then they understood that he was not telling them to be on your guard against the yeast used in bread, but against teachings of Pharisees and Sadducees. You know what? It doesn't say, it just said teachings of Pharisees and Sadducees. Look at what happened in the writings of the epistles. It's not, John said, it's not that you love him, but that he loves you. In teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, it's about grace and not about law. And you know what? Their fervent desire to teach the law caused them to be so angry with Jesus that we need to kill him. His sacrifice came out of trying to please God by law when he was saying he was going to fulfill all the requirement of the law. And they killed him. But he rose again from the dead. He rose again from the dead. There we go. And then Jesus came to a region of Caesarea Philippi. He asked the disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Here we go. Peter again. You are Messiah, the Son of the living God. That sounds firm, right? Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by the flesh, by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. The gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. And it's but backing up, he said, you can discern things through knowledge and understanding, but truth comes from heaven and the Father. It's we can try to figure out things in life on our own, or we can go to the Father and seek him. Boy, here's another one. Can you bring up 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30? Knowing Jesus gives us access to an amazing thing. I'm going to have to read it up here. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. There we go. Coming. Twyla's quick on a draw.
Trying to do Colossians, but I'll get there.
Get there, all right. It's very important about you know, the Father wants to reveal to us things, okay?
1 Corinthians what again? 1
30. Chapter 1, verse 30. Sorry about this. I knew this was going to happen. Okay. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, and that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Four very important things. Four very important things. Wisdom, the gift of righteousness, God calls us holy, and his redemption is complete. What's number one? Wisdom. When you come to a relationship and you give your life to Jesus, number one is wisdom. Proverbs talks about wisdom. And it talks about seek wisdom, all this stuff. Wisdom. She's what you need. In one of the epistles, not back to the epistles again, if you lack wisdom, ask God. But ask him believing in faith. Then he will freely give it to you. But if you don't believe it, expect zero. Back to this. Being with Jesus. This was not revealed by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven, the source of all wisdom. First in line, coming to know Jesus, having Jesus as your Lord and Savior, walking with Jesus, is get wisdom and ask Him for it. And no matter what we're going through life, then go to our Heavenly Father and say, I don't know how to maneuver through this. Give me wisdom. And if you read Proverbs, I think it's an interchangeable thing. Wisdom is Jesus. Jesus is wisdom. Knowing Jesus is the beginning of all wisdom. For at that time, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he was going to Jerusalem, suffer many things at the hand of the elders, chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed, and the third day he will come alive. And Peter took him by the side and began to rebuke him, "Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned to Peter. "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have the mind, not in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." And that's what you and I, cannot trade our own thoughts and knowledge for the wisdom from comes from God. He was talking fleshly. He was talking in what he can discern for the moment. Kill you? This is not going to happen. He says, you don't understand the will of God. You know, when we go through difficult times, it's time to take a pause, take a little time, get wherever you can get quiet, and say, God, I can't unravel this. I can't understand this. I don't know what's happening. But Father, I'm humbling myself before you. I'm taking all my anxiety and all everything that's disturbed me, I'm putting it at your feet, and give me wisdom. Give me wisdom to know your heart in it. Not what I see, not what I feel, not what I'm looking at. And Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. And whoever wants to save their life will lose it, and whoever wants to lose their life will find it. What good will it do for anyone to gain the whole world and forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for a soul? For the Son of Man is going to come to his Father in glory and with the angels, and when he will reward every person according to what they have done. Truly I tell you, some of you standing here will not taste death before you see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So, being with Jesus, hearing what Jesus is saying, I'm getting this low down, right? What was it? I didn't prepare for part of this thing, and I guess the Lord left it there. But here, in the writers of the epistles, here Jesus saying, he says, then he will reward every person according to what they've done. And then the epistle writing, it says, about him, about knowing him, about walking with him, he's a rewarder to those who diligently seek after him. You see what Jesus was teaching, Jesus was walking and sharing with these people, became other writings in the epistle, affirming what he was saying and staying with him for 3 years. So he's talking about this, and then all of a sudden, we read this other verse in an epistle that says, he's a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. And he is. He's worth following. He's worth living for. He's everything that we can ever manage or receive. So, in verse chapter 17, after 6 days, Jesus took him, Peter, James, and John, the other brother of James, and led them to a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses, Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, is it good for us to be here? If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." While they were still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and the voice of the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when the disciples heard this, they fell on their face to the ground, terrified. Wow, these few guys got to witness something that, you know what? His face shine like the sun. First, if you want direction in your life, focus on the face of Jesus, where there is no darkness, no indecision, no confusion. His face lit up like the sun. He is fully light to those who believe. Fully. No doubt. Look at him in the spirit and face to face and look at him, and all light is revealed. His clothes became white like light. What he accomplished for you and I is to put a cloak of righteousness over us. No matter how messy things got for us, and maybe we made mistakes and we've done things, he has for us a robe of righteousness, and it's white. His redemption is, and what he paid for is paid in full. Paid in full. They were terrified, but Jesus came and touched them. Some of us may need a touch from God, right? He didn't say, "Hey guys, everything's going to be all right." You know what? He touched them. He said, "Get up. Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. You know what, guys, men, women, that's actually all we need is Jesus. Go shopping in other places. All you need is Jesus. And all you need is to say, "Lord, touch my life." And fear dissipates. When they came together in Galilee, he said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will rise to life." And his disciples were filled with grief, because even then, they didn't get the whole picture, did they? Even telling them what was going to happen, when he was dying on the cross and they put him in his grave, what did the disciples do? They ran in fear. they couldn't get it together that in 3 days he was going to march out of that grave, victorious for all of us. Victorious for all of us. After Jesus and the disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma, I was in Greece back in the 70s, that was drachmas back then, right, Lydia? Now it's euros. I mean, I wish they never got rid of the drachmas, because drachmas are like thousands of years old, the currency, but now it's euros, you know, no more drachmas. Temple tax came to Peter and asked, does your teacher pay the temple tax? Yes, he does, he replied. He does. Then Peter came to the house. Jesus was the first to speak. What do you think, Simon? He asked. From whom do the kings of the earth collect their duties and taxes? From their own children or from others? From others, Peter replied. Oh, man. I think there's so much corruption going on in America, you know, and they're collecting all kinds of taxes from us, and you wonder where that, all that money's going to, you know. But he says they're gonna, the Romans are gonna collect taxes from other people, their conquered people, so they can live lavishly. They're not gonna get it from their own children. They're gonna get it from somebody else. Peter spoke right. Then the children are exempt, Jesus said to him. But so that they may not cause an offense, go to the lake and throw out the line. Wait a minute. Taxes due and go to the lake and go fishing? And he says, take the first fish you catch, open the mouth, and you will find 4 drachmas. Wow. Wait. Jesus' tax was 2. Jesus says, now, when he opened the mouth of the fish, you're going to find 4. Take it and give it to them to pay my tax and yours. That's the kind of God we have. Follow him with all our heart and soul and mind. Because he's a God that, in essence, here's Jesus not thinking just of himself, but the others. He said, there'll be enough to pay mine and yours. Again, Jesus is all you need. Jesus is everything we need. Jesus is a great provider. And you know, when things get short-circuitous and we think, well, how am I going to make it? Wow, this happened, that happened. I lost my job or got sick and everything else. It's time to stop, get alone, ask God for wisdom and see what his plan is. And his plan is always good. Always good. Always good, even though it looks bad. Yes. He turns bad into good. Yeah, I warned about my time. We're going to be out here a little early. But I skipped part of a chapter because this is something we need to take a little time to digest and think about. In conclusion, when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Unnamed. Lord, have mercy on my son. He went to the right place. He knelt before the one that can take care of everything. Have mercy on me. Yeah, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. God is a merciful God. You know what? Without even knowing Jesus, he knew Jesus was merciful. He knew if he asked for mercy, he would have it. He said, he has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, and they could not heal him. This is, let's get a little further. This is a big question in the body of Christ. And you go to different denominations. There, some believe in the healing power of Jesus. Some believe, no, it doesn't happen anymore. That was only for the disciples, and everything in between. And it's a place of contention and struggle with many people in the body of Christ. I brought them before their disciples, and they could not do it. You unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long will I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. You know what? That's an opportunity all of us have to pray for one another and bring us by name in prayer to Jesus and actually leave it there. Back to what Peter says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Bring all your anxiety to him. And that's the place to leave it completely. Because you can get into this other question. So Jesus rebuked the demon. He came out of the boy, and he was healed at that very moment. Then the question comes up. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private. Why couldn't we drive it out? You know, that so comes up in the body of Christ. That's come up with, you know, the fire chief from the village of Lincolnwood came in to do an inspection of the company, and I started sharing Jesus with him. And he said, hold on, brother. Before we get any further with this Jesus stuff, I used to go to church. I'm done with it. And what he was trying to say is he's seen so much bad things happen to good people that he's now thrown Jesus out of the scenario. And I said, Chief, because in that he says, in saying all this, he says, you know, Jesus was just a man. And I said, oh no, Jesus was much more than a man. Because what you've forgotten is, Chief, is that Jesus was born of a virgin. He came from heaven and became man and dwelt amongst us. So, Chief, he's very different from any other man. He's the God-man, Chief. And he loves you. He said, well, I'm sorry, I just can't accept what I've seen. Why couldn't we drive it out? He said, they couldn't, I can. Get off, it's about us. And get on, it's about Jesus. And the whole thing in our walk with Jesus, when difficult times come and difficult seasons come, and it appears that there's no answer, I'm not hearing from heaven, there's no answer, no, what's going on? That's the time to stop, get quiet, get alone with Jesus, and ask for him, for the God kind of wisdom. Because healed or not healed, delivered or not delivered, is in the hands of Jesus. And now here's the faith issue. Do you trust him with it? Do you fully have confidence in bringing it to Jesus, leading it with Jesus, and knowing Jesus loves you and knowing Jesus has it, and get it off of, if I have to go to some surface or some people with gift of healings and all that stuff, that even gets us sorted. I remember growing up, there was this guy, I won't mention his name, but he had a great healing ministry. Then finally media got involved, just like they're knocking on the doors and different, finding about fraud in the country. The guy was a fraud. He had a mic in his ear. So he had people planning, they would talk and find out things. He'd get his word of knowledge from hearing from the guy telling him what the people, oh, how do you know that about me? Well, his friend was talking to him. Then they had actually people in wheelchairs jumping out that never had any issues. You know, I'm saying this to say this. The answer to why we couldn't is, Jesus says, he replied, because you have little faith. How do you measure faith? Having it or not having it? I think the measure of faith, for me, the measure of faith, when I go before God and bring him difficult times and difficult things, it's a faith that says, I'm giving it to you, you have it, and I'm willing to accept whatever happens. I'm willing, and I tell you, but if you go in ministry, and I love praying for the sick, and I've seen, supernatural miracles happen, and I've also seen nothing happen. Does that change Jesus? No. It doesn't change him. He has to maybe change me in the confidence of this loving God that I know that loves me, loves people, loves and desires to help people and everything else, and that I can confidently go take it to Jesus and leave it at Jesus and not have my thoughts and desires about having it done the way I wanted to do it, but the way he wants to do it. You follow me? Are you following this? Faith is a confidence of things. It's a hope that the evidence of things not seen. And you're not seeing the whole picture, but you're totally trusting that Jesus will handle it. And it may happen in a week. It may take years. But that's a confidence you got to have. You got to have the confidence that I brought this to Jesus. I brought it to him. And whether it's right away, next week, next month, or years, I believe that God knows best. God knows best. And I can go on with life. I can go on with life. I brought them to you and they could not do anything. Bring them to me. He did it. Why couldn't we? You have to have the God kind of faith. back to Peter, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you or accomplish it in his good time. Follow that? Cast all your cares upon him, because he cares. And faith is believing that he cares. This really happened. This happened. And I think it was a big learning thing for the apostles. It was a learning situation for the apostles. And too many times myself, I want to define myself, my life, my walking with Jesus, and I can't afford to define it by what didn't happen, but to define it but by what happened. And what experience, I'm talking about myself now. What didn't happen happened more times than what did happen. But that doesn't get me derailed, because I know that I know that I know that I know God loves me. Amen. And I know that I know. What's interesting is that in that back to 1 Peter again, this is key, and it says because you know that the family of believers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. So if I base my relationship with Jesus on whether somebody gets healed or not, that makes me fragile and weak. But if I base it on his love for me and what he did in my behalf when he hung on that cross, when he was so lied about, brutally treated, beaten, and all for me, no greater love is this, that a man should give his life for another, and that's exactly what he did. So my faith and my walk doesn't depend on me, some kind of great, huge love I have for Jesus, back to John, but it's based on how much he loves me, and I can lay things at his feet with confidence. Whether it takes a week, months, or years, I'll wait on him all the time. He replied, because you have so little faith. Truly, I tell you, if you had the faith of small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And then there's another verse that's in Mark that's also, it says, this kind can only be removed by much prayer and fasting. So it's, in conclusion, I know, part of doing this study, I know that I know why I pray for you and your faith to grow. And to know what is faith. Faith is a God that is a rewarder to those who diligently seek after you. Faith is in a God that you know you're loved. Faith is in a God that he purchased your righteousness. It's not about you trying to get to him. It's about him getting to you. And having an intricate part of your life. Faith Faith is knowing no matter how long I have to wait, I will always trust in Him. Worship team, you can count that up. It's I didn't think I would get through that fast. But I want to leave with you as you're personally studying the Gospels, it came to me this morning. I mean, I didn't have much time to think about it except for the Peter verses, but the Holy Spirit came to me this morning and says, "Come on, Byron, read the epistles, and you'll find out the result of these men living with Jesus for 3 years. They're going to say they're going to write down things in their epistles that are directly from being with Jesus, hearing what Jesus had to say, and seeing what Jesus does and is doing. You know, and it's and I'm going to leave you all with one more thing. Your failure, my failure, isn't it? Anybody fail once in a while, like me? Your failure and my failure, mine, is an opportunity to engage how much you're loved by Jesus. Amen? Amen. God bless you all.